Amici Sportivi! Welcome to another edition of Golazzo. Today, ahead of this weekend's Sampdoria Interclash, we're looking at two classic meetings between these two clubs, one of which saw them pretty much seal the title. Yes, Sampdoria will be celebrating the Gemelli del Gol, the Mancho Man, and generally wallowing in yet more 90s nostalgia and a bit of naughty stuff too. Ooh, ciao a tutti. We have Dottore Gabriele Marcotti.
Pleasure to be here.
Oh, that's good news, Gabriele. And also Dr. James Horncastle.
All right. Sportivo.
Doug Schroeder says, would you do a Golazzo on the scandals in the Italian game? Eh? Particularly, I'm interested in Juve's demotion and the fall of Parma. Crikey. Well, there's a whole series of podcasts there. We'll get onto those, Doug. We'll put that on our list of pending topics. There, you know, it's a rich vein, isn't it? Scandals
in
City.
Isn't Tommaso Girardi going to join us soon on the podcast?
I think he's finally been brought to justice.
Has he?
On this, yeah. I think there's both him and was it Pietro Leonardi?
I don't know if they've. I mean, the case is now finally coming to court. Yeah. Well, that's something we'll discuss when we do the decline and fall and a bit more fall and yet more fall. And they got back up a bit, and now they fall again, Parma.
As I know from the fact that former Juventus chief executive Antonio Giraudo still lives, or certainly lived for a while in South Kensington. Huh. Girardi, if you're listening, there is no extradition for financial crimes between the United Kingdom and Italy.
Right. Now, we're recording this on a Wednesday morning. A Wednesday morning, which on the streets of Rome will be littered still with... I'm trying to think, what would Roma fans leave around? We're littered still with the signs of Romanista celebrations after their extraordinary triumph over Shakhtar Donetsk.
And injured ball boys, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it was a momentous night, a night which saw Dzeko seal their place in the quarterfinals, but then the team so very nearly throw it all away in the last couple of minutes. But two Italian sides in the quarterfinals for the first time in 11 years.
Mm.
Ooh.
Not just that, but three Italian managers. Oh. Potentially four Italian managers if you believe in Antonio Conte.
Mm. And he doesn't.
He doesn't seem to, yeah. But you know, others do.
Yeah.
So and just because I tweeted this out last night, I thought it was really clever, and it makes a reference to Janice Ian. A lovely story. Vincenzo Montella revealed that he and Di Francesco said, "All right, we'll meet again in the Champions League final."
No way.
Yeah.
When did they say that?
At some undefined point in the past.
Mm.
But it struck me that dreams are all they give for free to ugly duckling teams like these, Seville and Roma.
Beautiful.
Dream on, boys.
Beautiful. All right. Anyway, that is all to be discussed at a later date because...
In the final.
Yeah. How about that? Today, we're all about heading on back to the beginning of the 90s, a time of rising Samp, a time of Anglo-Italian collaborations in the charts. A time of Squarios and a time of Sampdoria's one and only Scudetto. That's right, Sampdoria won the title in 1991, the end of the 1991 season. What them winning the title? A little bit of perspective, please, Gabriele.
I think it's really hard to make an analogy in today's game, but obviously Sampdoria traditionally very much, I think, the second side in Genoa, which is Italy's, sixth biggest city, maybe even more than that by population. It is pretty remarkable. Now, they had a wealthy owner, who made it a point to go and just hoover up young talent. It was very evident in the sort of early 80s to mid 80s. Any young player, he'd be in there and jump on top of them, knowing that a lot of times the bigger teams, you know, if they went and they signed a young player, especially in Italy, we have this mentality. We're a wonderful country where you could, you know, you're basically a child until you're 30, right? That's right. Well, many of us live with our parents. Exactly. But what he did is, I'm going to get all these guys in. I'm going to play all these young players. And they're all going to grow together and they'll get attached to the team. They won't want to leave. And obviously, eventually, they did leave, but not after winning. So
yeah, not until after winning.
And Vialli and Mancini, I think, very much the very much a symbol of that.
Yeah, I don't think there can be many nicer places to make your home than Nervi. You know, the area where Sampdoria train, the area where a lot of the players live, absolutely gorgeous slice of the Ligurian coastline. The other thing that was amazing about them winning this year was the quality of the opposition they were up against. You had Maradona's Napoli. You had the Arrigo Sacchi Milan that was European champions at the time.
In back-to-back years.
Yeah. You had the Inter, of course, the side that they pretty much, as I mentioned, sealed the title against with the three Germans.
Mm. Yeah, and you had the Juventus who just bought Roberto Baggio.
Of course.
And along with that Maradona Napoli side, who were the champions at that time, were the favourites to win the league that year.
How'd that work out for them?
It didn't work out so well. In fact, I think Parma, in their first ever year in Serie A, finished above both Juventus and Napoli. They finished sixth.
Who was the Parma manager that year?
Nevio Scala.
Ah, right. Okay. So he was already in, of course. Okay. Mm. Yeah.
But as you mentioned, that Inter side, coached by Trapattoni, who was a serial winner, has won the league, seven times as player and the manager. A couple of years ago, with that Inter side, he broke a record in terms of that, you know, they put up the highest number of points when it was 2 points for a win. You mentioned they had those Germans. They'd added Klinsmann in the meantime.
Well, to be fair, back then there were limits on foreigners.
Right.
He replaced the legendary Ramon Diaz, and that's when things began to unravel. You could almost say that Klinsmann was some kind of curse on Juventus on Inter, because notice, Inter didn't win anything again until 2005-06, and that title, of course, was handed to them. Spurs, of course, didn't win anything after Klinsmann went there.
The USA?
When he leaves Germany as the manager, they finally, you know, win something.
Yeah, when he leaves Germany, they start winning. he gets sacked on the way to not qualifying the U.S. to the World Cup, which is kind of hard to do when you're in CONCACAF. No disrespect to my amigos in Panama. So, you wonder if that was kind of the moment that changed history. They'd committed to getting Klinsmann, and they hastily shoved Ramon Diaz out the door.
But remember, the Germans in this time, this is 1990, the World Cup had just been held in Italy. They had won it. Lothar Matthäus had lifted the World Cup trophy. He was very much the star of that Inter team. He was the Ballon d'Or winner at that time. And Samp had never won anything. So going into this game, three or four games?
Well, they'd only been around
for
how long? Less than 50 years at this point.
Yeah.
People wonder where the name Sampdoria comes from.
Yeah, go on, tell them.
It's a merger of two clubs, Sampier d'Arenese and Andrea Doria, hence Sampdoria.
So Sampdoria, basically, I think it only had three defeats all season, but going to San Siro against Lothar Matthäus, Bremer, Klinsmann, notwithstanding, Zenga, but all the other players as well, Giuseppe Bergomi, Nicola Berti in his kind of...
Who was on TV the other night.
Oh, yeah?
Clearly had drunk a little bit too much. They had to basically, after about 5 minutes, stop going to him because I think he'd spent the night waiting for this late night show, having a few too many glasses of wine.
Wow. Nicola Berti, a legend. If we can ever get him on the show, that would be a happy day. Sampdoria, meanwhile, with an eclectic mix of players, which featured the Goal Twins.
Obviously, Mancini and Vialli, they were very much in the spotlight. Born the same year, the stars of the under-21 team, should have maybe been the stars of the 1990 World Cup team, and then Tobaggio came along, tried to ruin it all.
And Schillaci.
And that Schillaci guy. But they were very media-friendly. They were very different personalities. Vialli, the more extroverted one off the pitch, who talked and who, led a slightly glamorous lifestyle at the time. Mancini, the one who married early. But then on the pitch, Mancini was the boss.
An early age as well, no?
Well, this is the remarkable thing about Mancini is sometimes you get those footballers where you talk about manifest destiny. I had the opportunity to discuss it at length with the guy named Mario Sconcerti, who's my mentor in Italian journalism. And he's one of those guys who went from being a newspaper editor to actually being a chief executive or director of football, wherever he was, at Fiorentina years later. So he had to walk the walk. And he knows Mancini better than anybody. In fact, he gave Mancini his job. And he said that Mancini has a sense of noblesse oblige, a sense of you are different, you are special. And it comes from the fact that, he was relatively well known when he was 12, moving from Jesi to Bologna. At 16, he started in Serie A, scoring 9 goals.
In a crap team that went down.
On a terrible team that went down, playing with a certain long-haired Franco Baldini, by the way.
Wow.
9 goals might not sound like a lot, but in terms of Italian football around 1980, it's an enormous amount.
It's 20 goals anywhere else.
It's 20,
and,
yeah.
And for a 16-year-old.
And he's 16, yeah. So it's he's had this sense of being the next great thing. People... Sconcerti said it's a little bit like those guys who really embrace their nobility or their royalty, sort of like, I am better than you, and so therefore I must give back more. I have this responsibility. It, for me, at least, it's always been sort of this fascinating sideline with Mancini. Part of the reason people thought he was, you know, introverted or arrogant off the pitch.
I think
And on it. Was the fact that, you know, he had this sense of superiority, not because he was arrogant, but because he really was superior. Mm. And he'd been told he was superior. And objectively, he knew he was superior. There is a school of thought that Mancini may be the most talented Italian footballer of the last 40 years. Now, obviously, people said, oh, what about Baggio and Del Piero, whatever. That's fine. And they probably achieved more. But I think Mancini, you're always left. I don't know about you, James, with a sense of, what might have been. And if you're a conspiracy theorist, he'll tell you that he paid the price for staying at Sampdoria all those years. And if he'd only gone to Juve or to Milan like a good little boy, it would have been different. But I mean, that's part of the romance of the character.
I mean, Gab's right, because I think Mancini is one of only 4 players to have won the league title with 2 different clubs that weren't called Juventus, weren't called Inter, weren't called Milan. You know, he won them with Sampdoria, their first ever Scudetto, their only Scudetto, and then went to Lazio and won the title with them, who hadn't won it, what, since 1974. It's something that he did as a manager as well. You know, with Inter, they hadn't won the league for 18 years. And okay, yeah, they got a hand in it. But then, and okay, Man City, he has Abu Dhabi behind him, but they hadn't won the league in, what, more than 40 years. This is a guy who who hated to lose, who was just the quintessential winner, really. Mm. Not only when it came to being super talented, but a winner who really set the tone.
But he would fight with anyone.
Oh, yeah.
I remember him. Did he get an 8-game suspension or something? I think that it was the following season to the one we're looking at, 91-92. I remember him having to be dragged off the pitch. And early 90s, anyway.
But he got sent off in this game.
And he got sent off in this game with Bergomi. Mm. So, okay, this game here, Sam, who have flirted with the title challenge in previous seasons but never been able to sustain it, they needed not to lose this game. Inter absolutely had to win to keep their chances alive. And they absolutely dominated the match, James.
Yeah, I mean, it was a man-of-the-match performance from Gianluca Pagliuca in the Sampdoria goal, who, you know, Vujadin Boskov, at the end of the season, had said, because of that performance, was their most decisive player in that title-winning campaign. Mm. Because not only does he keep, I think, Klinsmann out, he keeps... Serena out, Brema out. He saves a penalty at 1-0 from Lothar Matthäus, which practically breaks his hand. And for their remaining games, I think, I can't recall whether he actually played, but that was a big worry, because that made it more important that they saw out that win, because they might be without Pagliuca. And you know, Gab mentioned Samp's policy under Mantovani, which was to buy essentially 3 of the best under 23 players in Italy every year. You know, he fell into that category. You know, like Mancini, came through Bologna and was signed early, and you know, became, well, many people thought he was too young to be the number one goalkeeper in a team that aspired to win things. And lo and behold, you know, it doesn't matter how old you are, as long as you're good enough. And Pagliuca was certainly...
He certainly was, wasn't he?
Big Aston Villa fan.
Yeah. Do you remember how he got dropped from the national team? We talked about Zenga and his exit under Arrigo Sacchi. Do you remember what Pagliuca attributed his exclusion from Sacchi's Azzurri? He gave an interview where he talked about the fact... The interview, I think it was GQ Italia was the magazine, and they asked him about whether he ever self-pleasured. And Pagliuca said, yes, of course, 2 or 3 times a day. I might be wrong with my statistics there, but he said without any great issue, well, excuse the expression, it's not an issue.
That Matthäus penalty must have been really, really strong if it nearly broke his wrist.
Right.
One of my favorite guys in that team. Yep. I wrote a book with Gianluca Vialli, so I can't say this guy's my favorite because I've never met him, but Moreno Mannini.
Okay.
He scored you may remember this, Jane.
Was this the header?
No, the volleyed goal that he scored and I remember watching this on television on Channel 4 at some point, in a live game. He scored this absurd volleyed goal from like outside the box. I remember whoever the co-commentator was just like, and this guy's our fullback. How does he do that? You know, and
he was a cool looking guy as well.
He was a bad, so much cooler than Pietro Vierco was, for example.
Pietro Vierco was pretty ice cold as well. Each Christmas, Samp were famous for doing their charity calendars in which they'd pick a theme and dress up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And Mannini always looked the coolest. Whatever it was they could have gone Teletubbies. He still would have styled it out.
Am I right in thinking that when they all dyed their hair at the end?
Yeah.
Of the season, platinum blonde, wasn't it? Yeah.
He didn't do it.
Oh, was that right?
Neither did Mancini, obviously. That's because his hair is too good.
And Lombardo couldn't do it.
Absolutely. Well, that's another of the people who was in that team. Attilio Lombardo. You had Tonino Cerezo as well.
Yes, I didn't think about this. Could have been the coolest team ever.
Now, with all of these stars, the man who actually opens the scoring is the soon-to-be departing Beppe Dossena. Viene fermato ora da Paganini, poi il tocco per Dossena, il tiro a gol! Gol della Sampdoria con Dossena! A sorpresa, passa in vantaggio la Sampdoria! That is a more traditional source for the goal that seals it, Gianluca Vialli. Scudetto 90-91. Mannini per Vialli, il controllo, supera Ferri, Vialli, porta vuota, Vialli ed è gol!
Vialli, 2-0! Gioisce come sapeva fare Hugo Sanchez a Madrid!
Vialli, of course, top scorer that season, 19 he contributed. Do you know, 7 of Sampdoria's players in that season went on to play in Britain? Wonder if you can name them all.
Can I try?
Do you want to?
Okay.
Yeah.
Vialli.
Okay.
Mancini.
Yes.
Lombardo.
Uh-huh. It's going to be a while, this, isn't it? Listen, yeah. Shall I help you out?
Oh, Branca. Marco Branca.
Branca. Yeah, there we go. Branca. Right, anybody?
Fausto Pari.
No, Moreno Mannini played at Nottingham Forest.
Really?
That's right, yeah.
The other names, by the way, that you're missing, Ivano Bonetti and Alexei Mikhailishenko.
Who did Mikhailishenko play?
Rangers. What happened next? Well, into that season, won the UEFA Cup, which was always won by an Italian. It was kind of contractual back in those days. Juve.
Except when Roy Hodgson.
Yeah. Juve finished 7th that season. Yeah. This was Gigi Myfredi's...
the champagne salesman.
Yeah.
Fell flat.
No European football for them for the first time in 3 decades. Mm-hmm. As for Sampdoria, as the Scudetto winners, they went into the European Cup, as twas in those days, where they went all the way to the final at Wembley.
Like Ronald Koeman. Stoppage time.
Heartbreak.
But Tonino Cerezo,
yeah,
who lost that game,
yeah,
but then went back to Brazil, played for Sao Paulo in the club World Cup, and beat that Barcelona dream team. So he got his revenge.
Yeah.
He was playing on a great Sao Paulo team with, I think Cafu was there, Palinha, but a bunch of other guys.
All right. And then the pieces gradually began to make their way out of Nervi. Vialli moved to Juventus at the end of that following season. World record fee at the time. Boskov had left, replaced by Sven-Göran Eriksson.
Boskov went to give a young Francesco Totti his debut.
That's so true, down at Roma. Yeah. What an exciting team that was, Boskov's Roma, with Claudio Caniggia and Mihailovic came in later. Extraordinary times. Anyway, Samp gradually then beginning their slow decline. And finally ending up relegated in 1999 under David Platt. Lee Sharp was a David Platt purchase and who learned of Platt's disappearance shortly after arriving when none of the other players came out for a training session. He was stood there thinking, what's going on? And then they wandered out and said, oh, Lee, presumably somebody was doing some translating, your friend's left. Without so much as a goodbye, according to
Lee Sharp.
Were
you the one who broke it to him, James?
I didn't. I wasn't there that day, but that must have been quite a scene. They fired Spalletti and brought in Platt, which was Enrico Mantovani's idea, probably advised by Roberto Mancini, who always had an enormous esteem for the Platy.
Well, Mancini wanted to change Sampdoria's shirt or the away shirt. No? Didn't he want it to be like the Blackburn one?
Yeah.
He wondered why the Ferraris was called the Ferraris. Why do we have to have a play in a stadium named after a former Genoa player, and was reminded that he was a decorated First World War soldier.
All right.
Mancini, essentially ran that club.
Well, yeah. Anyway, Samp went down, came back up, and they're in action this weekend. But before we get on to this weekend, of course, Mancini, who had been the de facto manager, then went on to be a manager. And in 2005, January of that year, he was on the opposition bench for one of the most extraordinary matches I can remember seeing, again, against Sampdoria. Mm. We'll have a quick look at that game after this.
People of Golazzo, if you want to combine your knowledge of the footy with your knowledge of the footsy, then you need to get yourself over to the Football Stock Market Football Index. Football Index is a new way to profit from your knowledge of Serie A, the Premier League and beyond. Buy and sell players, build a portfolio, earn dividends and sell at a profit. Because you listen to Golazzo, you can try Football Index and trade up to £1,000 entirely risk-free. Just head to footballindex.co.uk, enter the promo code TOTALLY, and if you don't love Football Index, you'll get a full refund with their 7-day money-back guarantee. Download the app or play online at footballindex.co.uk and become a football trader today. T's and C's apply. You must be over 18. Deposit required, and please trade responsibly.
So the year is 2005. It's January. And Inter are at San Siro. They're battling, basically, for the top four. Sampdoria are one of their rivals. But Inter boasts a team that includes Adriano, also available to their manager, Roberto Mancini, Obafemi Martins, Nigerian teenager, asterisk, Rekoba, and of course, Cristiano Bobo Veri. Cambiasso's in that side as well. It's still a great, I mean, these are not the glory years anymore of Serie A.
Javier Zanetti?
Javier Zanetti's there as well. Him? Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, he's a given, no?
Right.
Matrix.
Materazzi's there as well.
Yeah.
Sampdoria, meanwhile, not quite so full of household names. And
it's an all-Italian team from Samp.
Is
this
it?
This one, yeah.
But one that doesn't feature Fabio Bazzani, who has, according to my report of the from 2005, to all intents and purposes, eloped to Rome with a showgirl. What was this story? I've forgotten this. Do you remember this?
No idea.
Anyway, well, that Sampdoria side were taking on an Inter team that had won the last three games, strong contenders for top four. And
they were unbeaten in 27 games.
28 games, actually, at that point.
But that's because they drew practically all of those games.
I just want to say one other thing about this. This was probably the last Mancini side that, in my opinion, played really, really good football. His first Inter side, 2004 or 2005. People later say, well, he's too defensive, he's too this, he's too that, he's too much of a pain in the butt, whatever. But that team were really, really fun to watch. They often played a diamond and whatever, and it was great, and they didn't win. And I think after that, something clicked in his brain and said, oh, look, you can't possibly win by playing proactive, attractive football. And, you know, maybe that's why Mancini is where he is now, and another guy's managing Manchester City.
Yeah. So never were they more fun to watch than in this game, and particularly the last 8 minutes. So basically, that Inter team with all those talents were losing 2-0 to Novellino's Sampdoria. Tonetto had scored. Kutuzov had scored.
In the 82nd minute as well. Kutuzov thinks he's won the game.
Well, indeed. So does the Radio Cronista, who says partita in Casaforte. That's the game sealed, boys. Mancini sends on, well, first of all, Obafemi Martins for Cristiano Zanetti. And then, very late on, Alvaro Recoba, El Chino, for Adriano.
Mm. Very PC nickname, that.
Yeah. So in the 87th minute, then, they're losing 2-0. Recoba crashes a shot against Samp's upright, and most Inter fans think that's it and they leave the stadium. But with less than 120 seconds left in the 90, Oba.
Parte l'azione dei ragazzi. Palla giocata in avanti su Recoba. Recoba di prima per Martins. Martins parte in dribbling e solo il tiro. E gol! Riaperta! Oba! 42 Oba!
Yeah, the incredible commentary there from Roberto Scarpini. And nulla was impossibile because 2-1, 2 minutes later in injury time, another Martins gem. Absolutely extraordinary. The ball's heading out of play and he does an overhead kind of volley to get it back. And what happens next?
Bobo Vieri puts it in.
Bobo Vieri.
palla dentro, Martins, attenzione, ancora palla buona, viene spallato via, Oba, acrobazia, via, gol! Tritalone! Andiamo a vincerlo!
Nulla! Extraordinary stuff. Martins, his impact on this game?
Pretty much like what Neymar did against PSG in that second leg at the Camp Nou. Just unbelievable. Yeah, I mean, he has a part in not only that goal, not only obviously scores the one before, but in the winner as well.
Mm. Well, so now we're well past the 90. Ball is cleared by now a desperate Samp bat line. It's 2-2 in a game that they thought was signed, sealed and delivered. The ball falls to Cambiasso. But oh no, he's missed. But then, in literally the last kick of the game, Alvaro Recoba gets a similar chance. And here comes your ringtone. Anticipato, palla vagante, mette giù, Recoba, il tiro,
a goal.
Wow.
Mancini's team played really, really, really good football. And we saw in that game, they would go and they would absolutely flatten the opposition. But the problem is when you do that and you don't score, and then, you know, you do the sneaky thing where especially with Novellino. Novellino's one of the little sneakiest. I know it's a podcast, can't see the expression I'm making, but he's like one of those, like, you know, weird rodent types. And I don't think he's a very nice person or a nice manager. And it's exactly what you thought, you know, by hook or by crook, they get a goal, then they get another one with Kutuzov. And this felt like vindication. This felt like, yeah, listen, God is watching and God is making sure that the righteous are being rewarded.
But from 2-0 down with less than two to play to win 3-2, James.
Yeah, and they were trying to draw comparisons after the game, like in terms of, you know, comebacks, not only in Inter's history, but in Italian football history. And they couldn't find one for I think the turnaround is in 5 minutes and 27 seconds. That's how long it takes for them to score those three goals. Moratti was talking about, you know, when he was a kid and he went to watch Inter play Liverpool in 1965. They'd lost the first leg at Anfield 3-1 and then won 3-0 at San Siro. But that's an entire game in which a turnaround happens, not the space of 5 minutes.
It was a famous derby, famous Turin derby, where Juve were up 2-0 and Torino scored three times in the space of 4 minutes. But the thing is, this was late in the second half. It wasn't at the end.
Yeah. Was that after Gigi Madoni had died? Was that?
No, it was after Gigi Madoni died, but it was a fair few players. It was like 83 or something that happened.
Okay. Who won the title that year? 2005?
Nobody!
Juve, of course, finished 7 points above Milan, but then other things happened. Inter did finish above Sampdoria. They were third, up in third spot. All right. Well, they dream of third spot this season, of course. An arduous battle for them to make it into the top four, but one which they can get some ammunition for or get valuable points towards this weekend when they will be travelling to Sampdoria.
Listeners, enough of this 90s nostalgia. It's time to talk about shaving. It's time to talk about Harry's. Harry's have got everything you need for a high-quality shave at a better price. Their cucumber and aloe shave gel lathers into a luxurious foam, allowing their German-engineered blades to glide across your face. These blades sit in a non-slip handle with a textured grip for extra precision, and Harry's post-shave balm will leave you extra cool and fresher than ever. Because you listen to Galazzo, you can get a special Harry's trial set, including that aforementioned handle, in your choice of blue, orange or green, a 5-blade cartridge, the foaming shave gel and a travel blade cover. You'll get all of that delivered to your door for just £3.95, and it doesn't come in an envelope or a jiffy bag. It comes in a Harry's branded cardboard box. And if that cardboard box isn't enough to incentivize you, if you don't love your first shave with Harry's, you'll get your money back. Find out more at harrys.com/Galazzo. That's Galazzo with one L and two Zeds.
So have a quick look at this weekend's fixtures. The race for top four, you've got Roma in third place right now. They're at Crotone, who stunned Sampdoria last weekend. It's the kind of game you can see the Gelarossi making a real mess of. But we'll see. 3 points behind them are their neighbours, Lazio, who host Bologna. Both those teams, though, have played a game more than the next two sides, which are Inter and Milan. Inter, basically, are only a point behind Lazio, so win their game in hand and they'll be in the Champions League.
And what better positions. Way to prepare for a game that you want to win by having your manager come out and saying, you know what, we're really not that good. We really don't have that much quality. And you know, before when we were winning and you guys all said, oh yeah, Inter winning, but look, they really kind of stink. And I said, no. Actually, you guys were right all along. We're really bad.
This is
Luciano Spalletti. I don't know if he's doing some kind of Jedi mind trick. He's probably right that in terms of individual quality, apart from Rafinha, who can't stand, and Candreva, who's too tired, his legs have fallen off, and Perisic, who's the most inconsistent.
But Gab, the guy who's asking him this question was like, well, you've got Icardi, isn't Icardi a quality player? And he's like, well, yeah, in the box he scores goals, but you know, what I want from a striker is someone who can come between the lines, interact, combine, yeah. Kai doesn't really do that.
Spalletti the most downbeat manager in football?
Not downbeat. I think he's just like, he brutally
looks miserable. Though,
brutally and provocatively honest.
Honest when it suits him.
I mean, the great thing after this was Candreva was basically confronted with these comments. And Candreva said, what? I think he's just trying to motivate us. He's finding a way to motivate us. And Spalletti was like, well, that's what he might. He might like to think that. If he wants to think that, fine.
But. So Inter currently are five. They're in fifth place, a point behind Lazio, but with a game in hand. They're 5 points clear of their rivals Milan. They've got a little bit of momentum going on, but of course have that huge match Thursday against Arsenal, if that still counts as a huge
The problem
match.
For Inter, James, is that they go to Samp this weekend. Mm-hmm. Samp have been practically perfect at home all season. And they've only got four home games left, one of which is the Derby d'Italia against Juve. And they've still got to go and play Atalanta away, Lazio on the final day away. I have to play Mazzari's Torino away.
Well, they have a great record on final day matches at Lazio, don't they? When things are on the line.
So it's complicated, Prince. It's very complicated. Even if they win this game in hand, which is against Milan in the Madonnina. So.
Of course. So. Yeah, of course. Wow. What do Inter supporters think, Gabriele? Is Spalletti right? Or should he be doing more with this team?
Personally, I think he should be doing more. You know, I mean, and I think maybe some mistakes were made in terms of recruitment. I think they should have definitely got rid of Perisic because as talented as he... I think this is the poorly constructed team. I've said this before. I'm sure Piero Zilio is a very nice man, but he's just not good at doing his job. It's been many years. And what does he do? He gets a promotion. You know, and they bring in, let's bring in another director of football. It's just, it's a really poorly constructed team with talented players. I mean,
Spalletti did call them the Springsteen and Bono of sporting directors in January.
Yeah, this is the kind of stuff he says. It's, but he's got his little prickly personality and, you know, he's sort of a little acidic and sarcastic and, you know, permaloso, as we say in Italian. I don't know. So now, like, the narrative's brought over. Oh, it's Suning's fault because they should have spent more money. And look, in January, there's a piece in Gazzetta today. In January, well, look, you know, in January, you know, Sabatini and Ausilio, they said, oh, look, let's strengthen the team so that we can get into the top four and set us a financial fair play. Am I? Yeah, it's your solution to everything. Spend more money. I mean, it's like watching a freaking BT Sport last night. Well, how can United get better? Well, they need to get three or four more big players. And, you know, I think it was Scholes at one point, like, how many more big players are you going to sign? Yeah. You know?
But, I mean, you look at the money they've wasted. They spent all that money on Kondogbia. Kondogbia is now Valencia. Gabigol.
This is all Ausilio, by the way.
Back at Santos. João Mário, now at West Ham. All these guys have gone
loss.
Way,
he carries his own personal curse with him wherever he goes. Seriously, no. He's got like a cloud. He's like Pigpen from Peanuts. You know, like whatever.
Dalbert, do you remember they signed him for 20 million in the summer?
Dalbert's and not terrible.
Yeah, but he hardly plays.
So I was going to ask, give me a reason why this match might be another classic game between.
Because Samp are great to watch.
All right, so tell us about Samp.
Okay, so I mean, on the Marco Giampaolo, you have basically, if Maurizio Sarri leaves in the summer from Napoli, the guy who'll probably get his job is Marco Giampaolo. Because Giampaolo. His teams play fantastic. I mean, you look at their midfield, he doesn't have a holding midfield player in there. They're all super talented, highly skilled guys. And yeah, it's got its flaws. Yeah, this is a team that, for example, cannot win away from home, as we saw at the weekend when they got battered by Walter Zenger-Crotone. Otherwise, they would be in the Champions League race, because at home, they just boss everyone. They were 3-0 up against Juventus going into stoppage time, the last time Juventus lost a game. And, you know, they have got a very good recruitment department. You look at the kids, you know, they signed last year, Schick, who they sold for 42 million. They sold Skriniar to Inter, who has been one of the better players.
So Roma spent more on Schick than they sold Mo Salah for.
It's not quite right, because the Schick deal is this very complicated loan with all these bonuses and blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
But yes, in the long term, it's entirely possible that it'll turn out that way.
But, I mean, you would expect, after selling Skriniar, Schick, Bruno Fernandes, they sort of a whole raft of other players, that Samp would fall away. They would not be competing for Europe. And instead, Sampaoli has got them doing just that.
Well, they're certainly a contender for a Europa League spot. Top four might be a stretch, but a huge stretch. Is it Sunday night, this game?
It is.
Super. So we all know where that'll be on.
Yeah, Sky Italia.
And of course, Torreira as well.
Well, they also have...
No, I said Torreira, isn't
he? Ah, yeah, of course.
And then, of course, Torreira as well.
Yeah.
And they also have one of probably maybe the most entertaining president in Serie A, in this ridiculous character, Ferrero, who you just Google him and you'll see what I mean. He kind of looks like David Gold's demented Simeon son.
Also happening this weekend, Juventus, who have now moved ahead of Napoli, much to everyone's surprise.
It could be even further ahead if they beat Atalanta tonight.
So they have their game
but
ahead this evening.
But they're not, because they lost 3-0 to Atalanta this evening.
Scaramanzia.
No, because Gasperini said so. Noi non ci scansiamo.
Okay.
We draw the line here. Yeah. Enough nonsense. Enough of this. You had your time against Spurs. May you go on and win the Champions League. But this is it. La Dea will stop you.
Boom. Napoli, meanwhile, at the weekend.
And has stopped you, for those listening on Thursday. Please.
Napoli, meanwhile, will be seeing if they can draw morale from Juve's shock defeat on Wednesday night by hosting, as they host Genoa. Juve, meanwhile, will be going to Spal.
Yeah.
Wow, it's a big weekend. They always are, aren't they? Crazy.
Well, there's everything to play for, isn't there, in this league? You know? There's about six teams involved in the relegation battle.
Relegation
battle going on for the Europa
League
spot. Can Milan get into the Champions League? And then the title race, I don't think it's done yet either. So
twists
far from done
and turns. Yeah. All right. Next week, I'm going to be looking forward to England's friendly with Italy, but also, because that's not enough, we're going to have a little look at probably, would you say, Gabrielli, the craziest Italian team of all time?
If not possibly the craziest team ever.
Punto e basta.
One with perhaps one of the most heartbreaking epilogues to it.
All right. Well. Whoever can we be talking about? You'll find out in next week's Golazzo. In the meantime, it's many thanks to Gabrielli and James.
Ciao, ciao.
And you listeners for providing the ears. We'll be back next Wednesday. Till then, arrivederci.
You've been listening to Golazzo, the totally Italian football show. It's a Muddy Knees Media production, and for sales and advertising, please email sales@muddyneesmedia.com.